Hi, my name's Delvin. I grew up in a Mennonite church, a fairly plain Mennonite church. It was a good place to grow up, and I guess I just want to share a little bit today where God has brought me. Growing up in a church like that, a community, you very secure life. You have a very large extended family, and everybody works together on projects and. And there's just a lot of support there. But there's, you know, and I, God worked in my heart when I was fairly young. You know, I knew I was a sinner. I heard the gospel. Gave my heart to Christ at several youth meetings and stuff like that. And but I just never felt, you know, I felt there was always something more. I saw a lot of the problems and you know, the lack of joy in people's lives. You know, nobody would, you know, we wouldn't have said we were earning our salvation, but it's kind of like if you were a bum and you know, living on the streets and you committed some crime and owed a huge, you know, had a big fine, and the judge just said he'd pay it for you. But you still go out in the street, and you're still struggling to find your food and to stay warm at night. I think that's where a lot of religious people are, and I think that's the best way I could explain where I was for many years. You know, you accept Christ, Christ forgives your sins, but you're still kind of left on your own. And you know what I've really come to understand that God not only paid my debt, but he also adopted me and gave me everything that he has. And you know, that's just been a big change in my life. So I wanted something better for my children. I saw that, you know, this really wasn't working that good. It was kind of thing that every, you know, you're not spiritual if you don't add some more rules to the church, and things just got tougher and tougher, and the kids rebelled more and more, and I just didn't really want to raise my kids in that kind of a setting. Growing up in the Mennonite church, you have the view, you definitely have the view of an angry God. I mean, they don't focus on, you know, they do focus on the loving part of God, but for the most part, it's, you know, you know God is an angry God, and he punishes sinners and rejects the proud, and so that there is a real fear there. You know, most of my family that is still in that church, they would never say that they know they're saved. You know, they're doing their best. Your past sins, it's easy for us to see them as forgiven, you know, because we can't do anything about that. But now, as I walk on, it's my responsibility to make sure I'm humble, to empty myself so that God can come in and fill me. You know, it's Jesus in me, where, you know, and the Bible does talk about that, but I think the key is it's we are in Christ. And when the verse that says, you know, our life is hid in Christ, very obvious in Romans and Galatians and all those books, that we are in Christ, not, you know, that's how we are hid in him, because we are dead and our life is hid in him. So yeah, we got married, started having kids, and I just, you know, I was concerned about my kids, how I'm gonna raise them up, and you know, the world was just a scary place. I mean, I remember the first couple kids, I just really felt bad having children, bringing them into this wicked world, and how was I going to raise them? I didn't know anything about being a good parent, but God was faithful, and we, you know, he brought train up a child to us. The first time he brought it, we didn't accept it because we heard about it in an Amish store, and the book looked kind of, you know, Amish buggy and stuff on it, so we just passed. But then later on, somebody mentioned it to us again and said we really should read it, so we looked at it, and then got their newsletter. Then we listened to the Ephesians set, started understanding a little more of the gospel. Actually, we had listened to some other stuff, a guy from India that had kind of started us on that line, the difference between living an old covenant life and a new covenant life in Christ. And we just saw that a lot of what we were taught growing up was really an Old Testament way of looking at the Bible, just that you had Christ in there instead of all the sacrifices, but really it was the same thing. You just, you know, Christ's sacrifice was, you know, covered your sins, but now it's kind of up to you to make sure you live a good enough life. You know, nobody could come out and say it that bluntly, but so then, anyhow, we started listening to Galatians, Ephesians, and Romans, and it was really the Romans series. I must have listened to it about three times, and it was really hard listening to it because I was afraid of where it was going to lead me, but I wanted the truth so bad. I kept listening to it, and just slowly by slowly piecing it together that, no, I am secure in Christ. I'm dead with Christ. In God's eyes, you know, he says I'm dead, and I just need to believe it and walk as if that's who I am. I don't have to work that out in my life, which I think is what, you know, really we were trying to do before, is we believe that, but we were trying to make it happen. We were trying to have enough faith to work it out in our lives. And I just remember, I can still remember the road I was driving on and about the exact spot where it all of a sudden hit me. You know, this is wonderful. This is awesome. You know, I am as righteous as Christ is. And I just need to accept that by faith and walk as if that's who I am. Not that it's a license to sin. It's just it gives me the freedom to follow him and to walk after him. So it's just really been a great, great change in our life, even with all the losses that we have experienced along the way. But really just thank God for that.
Hi, I'm Dalvin's wife, Brenda, and I too was born and raised in a conservative Mennonite home. And, of course, got a lot of my teachings and beliefs from the Mennonite Church. And it was through that that I viewed the world, and it's how through that that I viewed God, salvation, you know, everything. And so often when I would hear anything in that line, it was just always based on, does that fit the way I was taught? I knew about salvation and how that was the only way to get to heaven and everything. And at age 12, we had revival meetings, and I invited Jesus into my heart, and I really knew it was something for real. Something happened. And, you know, I had assurance that I was saved at that point, but I wasn't always so sure that I would stay saved. I always had this belief that, you know, salvation was one thing, but sanctification was totally another story. You know, Jesus took care of our past sins, and now it's kind of up to me to make sure that I'm always keeping my sins confessed, and I didn't want to have an unconfessed sin when Jesus would come, or if I would die, like if I would get upset at somebody and go out on the road and have an accident and die, that I wouldn't go to heaven if I didn't have those wrongs confessed. And so that was kind of always something that hung over me as I was growing up. I lived a sheltered life, and so I didn't have a lot of opportunities for get into any real bad, what we would call bad sins, but I just never felt quite good enough. Like, what I was doing just wasn't going to quite cut it with God. But, you know, as a young person, I didn't stress about it a whole lot. I was enjoying life and had a lot of friends. I went to winter Bible school, and while I was there, I became friends with a nice young girl, and I went to visit her in another state, and that's where I met a very wonderful man, and he kind of swept me off my feet. I was barely 18, and he was like 3 years older, so he really impressed me, and he was so calm and stable. I felt he was just what I needed, and of course, he was, but after being married and having children, I started getting these real high ideals, how I thought our home should be and how we should be raising our children, and he just never seemed to be quite as enthused about some of these high and holy endeavors like I was, and so I kind of thought I was a better Christian, and he just wasn't trying hard enough. And so I was always trying to figure out what would help me attain this holiness, I thought. I tried, you know, a lot of things like just dressing plainer, being more committed to things of God, more Bible reading and prayer, and I listened to a lot of messages like about being broken, and really started getting into reading Christian life books, and I just felt I just had to try harder. Although nobody could have convinced me at that time that I was doing it on my own or that I was doing anything by works. I, you know, was doing this all with the Lord's strength. You know, I was crying out to Him to make me this person that I wanted to be and to be more Christ-like. And, you know, I started hearing a lot of different things than what I was taught, how, you know, following rules and, you know, like, pastor and you know, man isn't really the answer. We need to be living by the Spirit, and that was making sense to me. You know, so I kept listening and trying, and meanwhile, God really directed my husband and I to leave the Mennonite church. It was just a step in this process. He was patiently taking us through as He was revealing Himself to us. And after leaving, you know, instead of having the security of living up to the beliefs and expectations of the church, it was kind of like really all the more up to me to be this Christ-like person that I wanted to be. I spent more hours reading the Bible and praying, and it was really hard. I felt it was a burden because as a young mother, it was hard to find that time, but yet, you know, to me that was the only answer. And that was the only way to get this peace that I wanted. It wasn't like I felt like I had a lot of bad sins, but I still just kind of felt this guiltiness that I wasn't being truly the most holy, righteous, Christ-like person I could in all my attitudes and the way I would respond to my husband and children, and just really hard on myself. And it got to where I would just end up in tears a lot and just had a lot of questions and frustrations. I think my husband thought for a while I was going to almost lose my mind or something. It was just kind of a big burden to try to keep on top of it all. But, you know, I could understand why he wasn't trying to seek to be so holy like I was. That's kind of another story. In itself, yeah, it's a big part of my story because it wasn't until I really found my rest in Christ as a believer that I could also rest in my husband's leadership. So that, you know, was all definitely tied together. After a lot of frustrations and telling God that I know, you know, I'm searching, but all I want is just the truth. I just really prayed that for months, that just the truth is all I want. And that was about the time that we had got the To Train Up a Child book, and we were, you know, really into the child training part, and then we realized they were selling some Bible teachings through No Greater Joy. And I know that one of the first tapes we got was the Sabbath rest, and that really hit me because it was just kind of reinforcing what God was showing me about not doing the work and things, you know, like law type things that was going to be the answer for being who I wanted to be as a Christ-like person. And then we got some more, like the Romans and the righteousness. That one I really remember, this really understanding that I was buried with Christ, I was crucified with him, buried with him, and rose again. I can be alive in Christ and dead to sin. And I just won't ever forget the day I was sitting at the sewing machine, and that just really all hit me, how I can just lay this down, that it's been done. And, you know, God is so patient and gentle in allowing us to hear these things just a little bit at a time, and we'd study the Word and just kind of soaked it up like a sponge. We just ordered more Bible teachings and just we're just kind of overwhelmed and yet just being freed little by little. And, you know, to this day, I just thank him so much for his awesome plan. But now I can be as righteous as Jesus because of what he did, not because of anything that I do that I have to, you know, daily keep on top of it anymore. I can just simply believe what he said and be acceptable to him through Jesus. So I thank you for listening. My desire is that Jesus would receive any glory for the change that's been wrought in me.
This is a production of No Greater Joy Ministries, Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Upon request, we'll send you a catalog of books, tapes, CDs, DVDs, and videos by Michael Pearl. Write to us at No Greater Joy, 1000 Pearl Road, Pleasantville, Tennessee, 37033. Or visit us and order online at nogreaterjoy.org.